God is so good. You know what? I love this time of year. I love Christmas. I love all the lights. I love all the tinsel. I love all the just the wackiness of Christmas, you know. And I'm going to be talking. We're going to kick off this morning with our Christmas team. And you know what? Christmas is all about. It's all about getting presents. It's the highlight of the holiday season. And I know when our kids were younger, I would get so excited watching them opening their Christmas presents on Christmas morning. I loved their reaction on their face. I loved the reaction if it was a happy one. I loved if it was a reaction of frustration, because normally they would get a toy and they'd be trying to figure it out and trying to put it together. But, you know, thankfully we didn't have too many meltdowns on Christmas morning. 9 times out of 10, I think we got it right, Stephen, did we? Yeah. What do you think, Sophie? Yeah, I think we got it right. But you know what? Christmas is about giving. It's about giving gifts. And you know what? We received the greatest gift of all when God gave us his son, Jesus. And the title of my sermon this morning, it's called Expect a Holy Surprise This Christmas Season. Tell the person on your right to expect a holy surprise this Christmas season. Now tell the person on your left, expect a holy surprise. Amen. Amen. But you know, amen. Amen. You know, that first Christmas season, the nation of Israel and the life of the people were going through a very dark time. And it was a really dark time. The nation was under the leadership and under the rulership of Herod the king. And it was 400 years since God had actually spoken to the nation. There was no visions, there was no prophets, there was no angels, there was no angelic visitations. There was nothing for 400 years. But yet God revealed an announcement. He was sending a spokesperson, a forerunner, who would prepare the way for the Messiah. And you know, if Sky News had been around at that time, or the local newspapers, I can only imagine that the headlines would have read, God speaks after almost 400 years of silence. And I want to introduce to us this morning an elderly couple. And I haven't often heard a sermon about this couple, but I want to talk about them this morning. And it's Zachariah and Elizabeth. And I want to talk about this couple because God actually turned this couple's story around. A story that was hopeless into hope. And if you come with me, we'll go through the scriptures, and it's Luke 1, 5 to 25. I think we have it here on the overhead. Okay. And I'm going to be talking out of, I think it's the NTL version. Okay. So if you want to join me and come along. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. And both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees. And this couple, they were blameless. This couple, they lived for God. They obeyed the commands of God. They loved God. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. And when you delve into the scripture, it tells you that this couple, they were nearly in their 60s. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot. And according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And standing on the right side of the altar of incense, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many people to God. And he will go before the Lord and in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And in verse 18 it says, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God Almighty. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah. And the people were actually wondering, why was he taking so long to come out? You see, he had stayed in the temple for quite some time. And when he did come out, he could not speak. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Father, we thank you this morning for your word, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that your word, Father, is yes and amen. Father, your word is full of promises. Your word is full of hope, Father. And Father, I ask, Father, this morning, Father, release your word into this house this morning for those that are hopeless, Lord God. Father, that it will set out to accomplish, Father, what you have ordained it to do, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a passage with so much encouragement. A passage that we can actually learn so much from. And when I looked at the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, what spoke to me, God knows our story. God knows our story, each and everyone here this morning. He knows your story, my story. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. He knows every tear that you cry. He knows every storm that you're going to face. Every success that you're going to achieve, he knows it all. He knows every prayer request that you have prayed from the time you were a young child. The Lord knows it all. He knows every prayer request that you're praying right now. The Lord knows it all. He knows every need that you have or every need that you need today. Our God knows our story here this morning. Do we believe that, church? Even when it appears he's not there, the Lord is watching. He's listening. The Lord is in the wings. He's behind the scenes. And this was true for Zechariah and Elizabeth at the core of this dark time in Israel. This couple's dreams, they were shattered. They were broken. They had experienced hopelessness. But the Lord knew the end of the story. When you look at hopelessness in the dictionary, it means to have a sense of abandonment, desperation, bleakness, misery. And Zechariah and his wife, they had experienced the absence of hope in their walk around this particular situation in their life. They longed to have a child. They longed for it. It was their heart's desire. They prayed and they prayed earnestly to the Lord for years for this to come through. These were two people that were so devoted to God. He was a priest in the priesthood in the temple he would go. They lived right. They loved God. They were so committed to God. You know, the absence of hope in any situation, it can stir up a lot of emotions. And those emotions can sometimes, you can lose the will to live. You can even lose the will to fight. You can lose the will to press on. And you know, I began to think about terminally ill patients, that they often get an early diagnosis off the doctor. And the doctor will predict the illness, the time. And sometimes these patients, they lose the will to fight. They lose the will to press on. You see, hopelessness can lead to illness, depression, broken dreams, failed marriages, failed relationships, and financial burdens. And our God will often allow situations of hopelessness to come into our life. And the reason is so that we will turn to Him and we will trust Him. And the first point that I want to bring out this morning is, when God's silence is shattered. Have you got it there? Amen. Okay. Amen. Yeah? Okay, I'll come up now in a second. When God's silence is shattered, you see, the nation of Israel, they were living in a time of hopelessness. Herod was a cruel king. But God did promise in His word that He would raise up a prophet to lead Israel back to Him. That the people would hear the word of God through the prophets, and that they would heed God's word. But that didn't always happen. And it tells us in Malachi that Malachi was actually the last prophet to visit Israel. It says in Malachi 4:5, "Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers." Malachi was talking about John the Baptist. You see, Elijah was known as one of the greatest prophets. He would come up against kings, and these kings were terrible dictators and rulers. And Elijah would go in, and John the Baptist was also like Elijah. He wasn't afraid to stand before the Herods. He wasn't afraid to stand up and to shout out, "The kingdom of God is near, repent and believe." You see, this is what God was doing. He was preparing a forerunner, and that forerunner was John the Baptist to come and prepare the way for the Messiah. 400 years of silence. Malachi was the last prophet in Israel, and then there was silence. You know those silences you can have when you have a row with your wife or your husband, and it's all picture and no sound. Jay is shaking his head down the back now. We never have those, Stephen, do we? Well, there was 400 years of silence in Israel. It was all picture, but there was an absence of God that was felt throughout the land. Yet God was working behind the scenes. There was a great expectation that there was going to be a great prophet to come like Elijah, who would be raised up, who would be powerful and full of the Spirit, who would prepare the way for Jesus. And that prophet was John the Baptist that I said. God's silence is shattered after 400 years. And this is not only good news for Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's great news for the nation of Israel that the Messiah was going to come. And here we have this priest, Zechariah. He's chosen out of thousands of priests. Can you imagine that? He gets picked. God chose him. Out of 20,000 priests, God chose Zechariah. Imagine Zechariah that day, all his dreams coming through. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He gets to perform his priestly duty. And he goes inside the temple, and there's a room inside the temple called the Holies of Holies. And it's a place that not just anybody can go. And we learned about this in our Monday night class, for some of us that had a class with Annette. And in that place, the priest would go in and he would burn incense. And twice a day, the priest would go in. And he would burn the incense on the altar. And what that was representing was the prayers of the people. And the smoke and the incense would go up into heaven, up into the Lord. But Zechariah gets chosen by God. He gets chosen to come into God's presence and represent the people. What a surprise to expect. The unexpected when you're not expecting it. Zechariah is a man that's faithful. A man who followed the commands of God. A man who had a heart relationship with God. A man that was blameless, that just wanted to live right. But God knows the story. He knew the cry of Zechariah and Elizabeth's hearts. You see, this unusual couple suffered a great sadness, not having any children. And you know, this was seen as a disappointment in the Jewish culture back then. You see, if you had children, your social status looked good. It represented that you had money. You see, the Jews would pass on their wealth to their children. Their children would look after them in their old age. And here is Zechariah and Elizabeth faithfully, faithfully serving God, and yet they're childless. And I'm sure back then that the tongues would begin to wag and the gossip would begin to start. And people would look at Zechariah and they would look at Elizabeth. And even when they looked at Zechariah, they would say, he's in the priesthood. He must be harboring some hidden sin that the Lord hasn't blessed him with children. Something must be wrong. And yet you can empathize with this couple and you can empathize with Elizabeth. She's disappointed. But can I tell you, even in the midst of this disappointment, this couple were faithful to God. They were faithful. They remained faithful to God. And I know godly people who are single and are right in the middle of God's will who have remained faithful. I know godly people who are childless and are right smack bang in the will of God, and they have remained faithful. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had been praying for decades for a child. And maybe you've been praying for decades for a certain situation in your life. Maybe your prayers have been met with silence. Have you remained faithful to God? You see, they prayed and they prayed and they felt a sense of disappointment. They even felt a sense of abandonment from God. And maybe you feel your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling here today. That God is silent and you shake your fist to heaven and you say, God, where are you? And maybe you're single here today and you desperately want to meet someone. Guys, if you like a girl here today, for heaven's sake, will you go and ask her out? And if the Lord tells you that she's your wife, well, go buy a ring and put it on her. And ladies, if you like a guy here today, is it leap year? Well, even if it's not, go ask him out. We live in a modern day society. Take a step of faith today. But you know, all joking aside, maybe like Zachariah and Elizabeth, you're longing for a baby and it just hasn't happened yet. You've got to remember the promises of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. Maybe you're dealing with an illness right now and you've no hope for the future. You've got to lean into the presence of God. Maybe you're waiting on that home and your faith is wavering. Am I ever going to get that house? Am I ever going to get that apartment? And maybe you're tired waiting on a financial breakthrough. We serve a God that makes all things possible. He can turn impossible situations into possible situations. But don't get me wrong. You know, I know it's hard to wait on God. I know it's hard to wait on answered prayer. You see, even Zachariah, though his fate might have wavered, he did commit his situation to the one who could make it happen. And that's what we've got to do. When our faith is wavering, we've got to commit it to the Lord. It says in Revelation 8:4, that the prayers of the people are beautiful aroma in the nostrils of God. Whenever we pray together or alone, we're representing an offering to the Lord. When we want our prayers answered, we must be open to what God can do in impossible situations. But the key is that we must wait. You see, it's in His way and it's in His timing. God has set aside a time for everything. And God will reveal His plan at the right time. Amen? And the second point, the price of silence. Now you would think an encounter with an angel would pretty much make Zachariah be doing cartwheels in the temple, backflips, high-fiving an angel. That he would be standing tall. That he would be running up and down that temple, ecstatic with joy. You know, this angel had spoken some great promises to Zachariah about his son. It tells us that his son would be filled with great joy and gladness. And that many people will turn back to God because of John the Baptist. Now you would think that Zachariah would be saying, wow, that's amazing, angel. I've been waiting on this prayer request to be answered for decades upon decades. My son is going to be the forerunner. My son is going to point people back to God. But no. Zachariah shows signs of unbelief. And he pays the price for his silence. He pays the price for his silence. He pays the price for unbelief, which becomes a caution for us here today. Don't be a Zachariah. Don't be a sign of unbelief. You see, in his doubt, he denied the messenger of God. He denied the power of God. You see, Zachariah looks at himself and he looks at his wife and he looks at the angel and he's kind of saying to the angel, well, prove it. I'm an old man. I'm not getting any younger. And my wife is advancing in years. Now, he didn't say that his wife was getting old. He just said that his wife was advancing in years. He was a wise man. But Zechariah is saying to the angel, prove it. You're talking about the Messiah coming. You're talking about salvation to the world. Prove it. So the angel gives him a sign. You're going to be the sign, Zechariah. And I'm going to silence you because of the unbelief that's flowing from your heart. And you're going to do time out. And you're going to be on the naughty seat for 9 months. And you're not going to be able to speak. And you're not going to be able to hear. You're going into time out. It's like Super Nanny when the kids are bald. You ever see her? She's gas. Jo Frost. And she comes in and she disciplines the kids. And sometimes I think she does be disciplining the parents and mind the kids. But they go in on time out and they're put on the naughty seat. And this is what it was like for Zechariah. He doubted the power of God, the promises of God. So he goes into time out for 9 months. Because normally what would happen is that the priest would come out of the temple and he would release a blessing onto the people. And the people knew that something had happened inside that temple that day. Do you doubt God from time to time? Can we be honest here this morning? I do. I try and do it in my own strength. Are you like me here this morning? You see, unbelief can flow from your heart. It's a robber, unbelief. It'll kill you, unbelief. You see, when there's a lack of faith, you miss out on the very things of God's plan. Unbelief can make us silent, it can make us deaf, and it can make us miss out on the miracles of God. So we need to look at ourselves and we need to check and do a check and say to ourselves, what is prompting unbelief in my heart here today? And if you're harboring unbelief, this is a safe place. You can repent, you can confess. Share it with a leader. Share it with someone that's solid in the Lord that will help you get through. There's a scripture, I think it's in Mark 9:24, and it's about the man, he brings his child to Jesus. The child is demon-possessed. And this man wanted so much for his child to be healed. And he brings the child to Jesus. And he asks him, will you heal my son? And this is what the man said to Jesus. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. This is the word of God. You see, God has given us tools even today. When we have unbelief, that we can come to the Father. And if we're wavering in our faith, that we can say to the Father, I do believe, but help me to overcome this unbelief for this particular situation in my life right now. And I'm sure while Zechariah was in time out for 9 months on the naughty seat, he had plenty of time to repent of his actions and for doubting God. You see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Everything is possible for him who believes. So literally, everything would be impossible for him who does not believe. Unbelief can withstand the love and power of God. When unbelief or sin enters into our heart, it can silence us, it can deafen us, and it can make us lose out on the plans that God has for us and the purpose that God has for us. But God is faithful. Our God fulfills his promises. And he made good on his promise. And Elizabeth did conceive a child. Amen. This woman, in her old age, 60 years of age, the scriptures say that she was, her body is able to carry a child. When the Lord gives you a promise, you have to believe it. You have to believe it. Don't become a Zechariah today. And the third point, you shall leap again. I think we have it there. The significance of trusting God. You see, when Elizabeth carried John the Baptist at 6 months, he leaped in her womb. And this baby was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came down and filled Elizabeth. And the baby leaped for joy. When God invades your situation, you can leap for joy again. The Spirit of God can awaken dreams. The Spirit of God can restore promises. The Spirit of God can restore hope into your life again. So what's it going to take? It's an attitude that will make us leap again. And the first thing is that we must have an attitude willing to let God answer in His own time. Amen. You see, Zechariah couldn't believe the angel. When we doubt God, the problem appears impossible. We must be willing to let God answer in His own way. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted children. Everybody else was having children around them. But God gave them a unique son for a unique purpose. He was the forerunner. John the Baptist was the one. He was the prophet that the Lord had sent to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. We must be willing to let God answer in His own power. He is more than able. He doesn't need your help or He doesn't need your interference. Can you settle that today? You see, the stirring that you will feel in your spirit is the excitement of your dreams. It's the excitement of your visions. It's the excitement of God fulfilling your promises. It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you to help you leap again. We will go through dark times as the people of God. We will go through times where we cannot feel Him. We will go through times where we'll feel alone. We'll go through times where we feel like giving up. But can I tell you this morning? Know that the Lord is there. He's there. Know that He can turn your disappointments to appointments. That He can turn your failures into stepping stones of success. That He can turn your brokenness into boldness. Your tears into joy. Your doubt into belief. Your weakness into strength. You're nothing into something. And know He can turn little to plenty. Every hopeless situation back to hope again.